Morning, Ireland. It's 7:15. Guilty and facing up to 5 years in jail. That's the fate this morning of two former directors of Anglo-Irish Bank, Pat Whelan and Willie McAteer, after being convicted yesterday of providing illegal loans to 10 businessmen to buy shares in Ireland's then third biggest bank in 2008. They were found not guilty on counts relating to lending money to the Quinn family. The bank collapsed later that year, costing taxpayers over €30 billion. On Wednesday, the bank's former chairman, Sean Fitzpatrick, was found not guilty of all charges put to him. Our legal affairs correspondent, Aura O'Donnell, was in court for the trial, the first to result from the collapse of the bank. Aura, the court found that even though the legal advice said the loans were okay, even though the deal seemed to have the blessing of the financial regulator, it was against the law, and this is the first time anyone has ever been convicted under this law.
Yes, well, it's the first criminal prosecution under Section 60 of the Companies Act, and therefore it was important for the lawyers to work out how the court would interpret the Act. Judge Martin Nolan told the jury that they had five questions to decide. Was there lending? Was it for the purpose of stabilising Anglo's share price? He found that that was what Section 60 was there to prevent. It was there to prevent people lending money to buy their own shares so as to affect the share price. The jury also had to decide, was the lending in the ordinary course of the bank's business? Did the men know about the lending, and did they take any steps to stop it? And although we don't know what went on in the jury room, it does seem that this issue of the ordinary course of business was an issue for the jury, because they differentiated between the loans to the Quinns and the loans to the Mapleton business people. And the main difference between those two sets of loans was that the Quinns had to repay 100% of the loans, the Mapleton had to repay 25%. So we can guess from that the jury believed the Quinn loans were commercial loans and were in the ordinary course of business of the bank, whereas the Mapleton loans were not and were outside the ordinary course of business and so breached Section 60 of the Companies Act.
Grounds for appeal, Aura. Is there a legal basis to challenge Judge Nolan's ruling on legal advice?
Well, this is clearly going to be a main ground of appeal in the Court of Criminal Appeal. There were many days of legal argument about the legal advice in this case and also about the role of the financial regulator. And these were important issues for the defence, because they wanted to show that these three men, when they were originally charged, were trying to prevent a breach of the law, and that they did everything they could to prevent a breach of the law by taking advice from people. But the prosecution during the legal argument ruled that the legal advice didn't make something illegal legal, and the judge said to allow the legal advice to be used as a defence breached the fundamental rule in Irish law that ignorance of the law is no defence. And he ruled out the evidence of the financial regulator. He said the financial regulator's role was irrelevant for the same kind of reasons. The financial regulator couldn't authorise something illegal and make it legal. The defence lawyers had argued to Judge Nolan that he should read a defence of due diligence into the legislation, that reasonable steps to prevent a breach should include seeking advice, and that in the UK there's a defence of good faith. The judge said no, he couldn't change the law, but it's clear he had a certain amount of sympathy for the position they were in terms of the role of the financial regulator. But it's clear that this issue of what defence is allowed under the legislation is going to be raised in appeal. Lawyers for Patrick Whelan, for example, said that if you, as an ordinary person, as a director of a company, if you can't rely on your legal advice, if you can't rely on the state who are encouraging the deal or at least not stopping it, if you can't rely on your own compliance department, what can you rely on? And senior counsel Brendan Grant at one stage brandished a copy of the 3,000-page long Companies Act and said, how could anybody be expected to keep themselves right if they can't rely on this advice?
The comments from the judge, not before the jury, about the role of the financial regulator and that it may be a mitigating factor might give us some clue as to how he's minded when he sentences the men, supposedly later this month.
That's right. Well, the defence had argued, for example, that this was this whole trial was an abusive process, because how can you have one part of the state in the form of the financial regulator encouraging a deal, and then after it's done, another arm of the state coming along and prosecuting you? Now, the judge said he heard what they were saying, but again, he couldn't allow the role of the financial regulator to be used as a defence, but he did indicate he would take this on board in sentencing. And he said he gave a ruling in the absence of the jury indicating his thoughts on the role of the financial regulator and how he would view this in sentencing. And he said he believed the financial regulator knew of the scheme, knew of the lending, took no steps to discourage it, and was relieved that the scheme went through. And he said this was something he would bear in mind in the sentencing hearing, which is now due to take place on the 28th of April.
Briefly, Orla, there are other court charges facing people as a result of the collapse of Anglo, and Sean Fitzpatrick, who was acquitted on Wednesday, is expected to be back in court for a trial in October.
That's right. Mr. Fitzpatrick is charged with failing to disclose to Ernst & Young, the auditors, the true value of loans of at least €139 million given to him or people connected to him by Irish Nationwide Building Society from 2002 to 2007. There are a number of other former Anglo officials also facing charges before the courts. And the investigations being carried out by the Director of Corporate Enforcement and the Garda Bureau of Fraud Investigation are still ongoing. And there are a number of strands, I think two strands of that investigation that have not yet been completed. So it's a possibility we could see other people charged and brought before the courts.
Orla, thank you. More on the Anglo trial later.